All right, welcome to the Light Years podcast. So this week on the Blue Wire Network, Abner Mares, Sam, is a world champion boxer, Olympian, sports commentator, and most importantly, dad to two little girls. Beloved by a blueless, hopefully I'm saying that right, and hardcore fans alike, Abner is a pro at entertaining the world both in and out of the ring. So on Blue Wire's new podcast, On the Hook with Abner Mares, we'll hear from Abner, his family, fellow athletes, and other people who made him the boxer and the man he is. So he talks about the state of boxing, Abner's journey from a kid on the streets to boxing champ, his American dream, husband and girl dad. So it's all amazing. So listen to On the Hook with Abner Mares wherever you get your podcast. Episodes in English out on Tuesday and episodes in Spanish out on Wednesday.
Andy, I'm excited.
What are we excited about?
We are recording this Sunday, October 18th, released Monday morning, October 19th, 29 days from the NBA draft. We just watched the 49ers beat the Rams, salvaging their season. They're kind of back into it. We officially have a World Series. I know most listeners on this podcast don't like the Dodgers, but that was a hell of a game seven. And we've entered, you know, this just brings back nostalgic memories of draft misdirection season right now. 29 days to the NBA draft. I'm sure between this posting and when you're listening to it, there's been another leak about the Warriors liking a different player. You know, that's the type of that's where we're at in the season.
Since the last time we've talked, by the way, on our Light Years Premium podcast, we went pretty deep on Devin Vassell and that jump shot or whatever the hell happened to his jump shot last week. But since that
the podcast, cannonball. Sam,
the catapult cannonball. I saw an article that said the Warriors, if they don't trade back, are for sure, Sam, 100%. Going to take James Wiseman. So, you know, we haven't heard about James Wiseman in a couple months from the leaks. So that's what we're hearing nowadays. So, you know, we're back to Wiseman. Changes every month.
It's Wiseman week again. No.
Yeah. Saw the biceps and said it's Wiseman week. Yeah.
Yeah. Kurt and Kent saw the shirtless photos. So like, that's the guy. No. What I was going to say is, you know, I keep thinking about what a friend of the show, Sam Vecini, said, which was, the Warriors have been leaking more than any team. And his theory, which I would agree with, is they're trying to throw everyone off the scent of what they want to do. I think what they want to do is probably trade down. Like, there's probably someone they like,
yes,
but they don't want to take them at number two, because if you're drafting one, two, or three, you have to take, you don't have to, but you got to take LaMelo, Edwards, or Wiseman, right? Like one of those three. Yep. And if you kind of, you know, if you feel like Devin Vassell, Patrick Williams, Denny Adia, one of these guys are better, why would you not try to get the extra asset? Particularly when we know the Warriors eventually want to try to package for a star player. It's all misdirection. And I kind of have to give him a little credit, because while it was a little annoying early on, I've officially reached a point where it's like, I don't know, man. You talk to a lot of people around the Warriors. You talk to a lot of different things. It's like, I don't know which way they're leaning other than they want to trade the pick for Giannis.
Yeah. So. Right. Which is like, I mean, an idiot could. Yeah, an idiot is going to want
that's
that.
Not,
like,
that's not some deep research.
The wheeling and dealing will be interesting. I think that the Warriors can do in this draft. I think will be fascinating to see. I guess we haven't talked about it too much, but you know how – you know how, like, Bill Belichick, Sam, when he gets a he trades a pick, or he trades up, or he trades back, he'll trade it like twice, and he'll get a few picks in return. You kind of can't do that in the NBA, so I'm not necessarily saying that, but the movement that he does to accumulate draft picks and value, I think, is something that the Warriors could do. Like, I don't see it being a problem if the Warriors want to trade back from 2 to 8, and then from 8 to like 17.
The double trade back. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know when the last time anyone has done that. Probably should know. But like, if you get multiple picks from that, I don't know who wants the eighth pick, right? But it is, that would tell me the front office, like they're like, these guys are sharp guys. Cause I don't think the Warriors care if they have the eighth pick or the 15th pick. I don't. And so if you can get value out of those picks, like that'd be pretty cool to put that in a package for Giannis or whomever else, right? Even Bradley Beal.
So for me, I view, when people say it's a weak draft, what they're saying is there's uncertainty. Like there's no Anthony Davis or Zion at the top of the draft. Like you get Zion number one, you know, you have certainty, you know, he's going to at worst be an all-star, right? When it's a bad draft, that means in 5 years, we're going to see like the guy who goes 15th overall, Kawhi Leonard or Giannis, be the best player. And everyone's going to be like, how did no one see that coming? Well, because they developed late, right? So from a Warrior perspective, they still need to nail the pick, but it might be a situation where every player in this draft, pick 1 through 15, is like the eighth man for them. Like it doesn't matter. It could be Anthony Edwards or it could be Patrick Williams or it could be Sadiq Bey. And none of them are going to stand out next year to a point where you're like, we got to change Klay Thompson's position or like something like that. So like all that matters is you have to know who's going to be the best one in 2 to 3 years. And then you're just trying to acquire as many assets in the process as possible. Because as we've seen, whenever that good player comes up in trade talks, you just need as many picks as possible throughout them. You know, like we kind of make fun of Boston for never pulling the trigger. But like even like the Clippers, okay, the Paul George thing didn't work out amazingly well the first year. But they wouldn't have been in a position to do it if they didn't accumulate the Heat's picks, the Grizzlies' picks. Like, everyone talks about all the picks they traded. They only traded, like, two of their own picks or three of their own. You know, like, they're trading a lot of stuff they accumulated from other teams. And that's kind of how I look at it with the Warriors. Like, get these picks. Like, you don't need to draft 13 players in 3 years. At a certain point, they're just, like, redundant throw-ins to get the player you want. That might be something the Warriors want to look at.
Yeah, I saw the I saw Daryl Morey. He stepped down. I think we hadn't recorded since then, or maybe we had. Either way, and I think a report came out too that hey, like he didn't want to trade Chris Paul, right? That was something that Fertitta and James Harden pretty much said he had to do.
His two bosses.
And I think that's something that Bob Myers is gonna have to work through is what's Joe Lacob's. What's his direction? What's he want to do? Because Bob Myers could have, you know, 2-3 things that he wants to do. But if Joe Lacob says, hey, you have to trade Wiggins because we got to get off money, the hell is Myers supposed to do, right, Sam? Like, he can do as much stuff. He can have stuff lined up as much as he wants. But if they don't want to pay guys, what can you do? And that might be a problem with the Warriors, too. So it's like double.
Or it could go the other way. Let's say Joe Lacob's telling him, you need to get another star. You need to get the next guy. You need to get, you know, Steph's 32, Clay's 30 off an ACL. We need the next guy to build with them as those guys move to the older phases of their career.
Yep.
And if I'm Bob Myers, I'm looking at that and I'm saying to acquire, I mean, obviously we, you know, Giannis seems to be the next name up, but let's assume it's not him.
Let's say it's Vic. Let's say it's Oladipo or Beal, right? Like, I don't know if I trade those next two first for that. Like, I don't.
Sure. Let's say it's a year away, Embiid or someone like that. All those things, if I'm Bob Myers, I'm looking at it from this standpoint where it's like, to acquire those guys, I got to make a lot of in-between moves to get draft picks too. So it's I feel like the Warriors are, whatever they do at the draft is going to be an in-between move to the next move. Like it's highly unlikely there's one move to get them to the next level, right?
Well, you know, the D'Lo move, I guess you could say, in-between move. And then, I guess maybe they liked him and they thought they could bring him in. But either way, it ended up being an in-between move.
Sure.
Then they got Wiggins,
but they got that pick that's like, right. I mean, they're going to talk it up, but until Minnesota shows the world they're good, that pick's going to be a very attractive trade asset.
I still think it's the right move to get Wiggins in that pick. I still do. I still would think it's the right move to get D'Angelo Russell and not keep Andre Iguodala and run it back as much as Steve Kerr wanted to happen. Like, I think the Warriors did well there. And as much as
like we like Iguodala, it's one's 23 and one was 35. It's
Iguodala looked pretty not washed, but I mean, he's not.
He's like, always going. Like, he's always finishing a game. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is he finishing a game next season for the, like if he's on the Warriors? Maybe, but I don't know. So yeah, I think they made the right moves. But now it's like now it's high stakes though because now it's you actually have to do something with that stuff. There, it's been a year plus, Sam, of sitting around and talking up Wiggins and talking up the core four and talking up Minnesota's pick. But when it comes out, what are we 30? Did you say 28 days? 30 days? Whatever the hell number we're at now.
29. The day this is released, 29 days. Yeah.
So, you know, like it's coming, man. It's coming and they need to figure out what the hell they're going to do. And I don't think they know what they're going to do either because it depends on who wants to trade the pick, who wants to trade up. Do the Knicks can just go to one, right? They don't have to go to the Warriors. So, you know, who else wants LaMelo? Because I think LaMelo is that guy that people want. I don't think people are trading up for Wiseman or Edwards. It does seem like that's the guy if the Warriors trade the pick. People are like, all right, we want LaMelo Ball.
One last LaMelo thing, and we went into this for an hour on Premium last week, so you know it is what it is. But LaMelo did say on Thursday or Friday that he'd only zoomed with two teams, Warriors and the Knicks. The only thing I'm gaining from that is, and it matches everything you and I have heard, which is the Warriors have been doing their homework. They've been floating a lot of noise out there, but behind the scenes, they knew they were going to have a top pick basically from the moment Steph broke his hand, which at this point is almost a year ago. Like he broke his hand October 30th. We're putting this out on October 19th of the following year. This is how long the draft season has been. Like, I feel like other fans of other teams are like, you guys deserve this, but it really is like the longest possible offseason ever. Because like at this point in a normal year, the Warriors would be in training camp a week away from starting the next season. Like usually the season kicks off around the 20th. So they would have made their pick 4 months ago. We would have seen them in summer league, you know, setting screens for Smile Geach. And
Summer League would have been great, by the way. Summer League would have been amazing. Can you imagine like James Wiseman or Patrick Williams is like the first Warriors like top draft pick, and then you get to watch him. You get to watch Smiley. I get the slander. We're gonna get to the double, by the way, in about like 5 seconds here. But like, it would have been fun to see Smiley in Summer League. Like it was fun to watch him in the regular season. Look, I know the Smiley slander is fun, but it still would have been cool to watch him. Didn't look great, but you know, someone like him, Jordan Poole, like. Second year Jordan Poole would have been fun to watch. He looks like he, you know what? Why don't we just get in the double? Because that was my first take, Sam. It was my first take watching that, you know, 6 minute highlight video was that I think with Jordan Poole, he was so bad last season, but he also got to play so many high level NBA teams that I think like it can only help. And I don't want to throw away the first season, but I think it's going to give him a lot more confidence than, say, last season if the Warriors were healthy and he played 5 minutes a game. So there's good and bad that comes to it. He didn't look good. But the good part is I think he's messed up so much that he's also gotten a lot better just because of the mistakes that he made. So there's my Jordan Poole standing for 30 seconds. But I think that helps more than if he was backing up Clay.
Let's back this up, okay? So the Warriors social media team released highlight video of the double scrimmage. You know, when we heard about the minicamp thing, I got all excited about like Steph playing with Clay and Wiggins and like, you know, it was going to be like our first vision or first look into what they could look like. Didn't turn into that. Turned into Juan Toscano-Anderson guarding Jordan Poole. And nothing wrong with that. Like those players are, you know, big ups to them for getting their careers going and everything. But like watching the highlight reel, my big take was I'm gonna go through this. One, is Looney hitting threes now?
Oh God. So Looney's someone
are you buying no. the Looney 3-point shot? The Kayvon Looney the third Splash Brother.
I
I'm not buying it only because when you're a player in the NBA for that long, I think, and he's young, but he's been in the NBA for a long time. To me, it's either you've shown the ability to do that consistently or you haven't. And he's never shown that ability. And I don't think they're all of a sudden going to say, hey, Loon, shoot 4 threes a game. Right. So I don't think that's going to happen. I think if he was able to shoot, he would have shot it more. And I think if you're relying on him to make the three, you've already failed. So I don't know if I buy it, Sam, but it doesn't look that bad. Like the shot's fine and he was making it in college. But yeah, I don't know if I buy it. I buy the health. Like that would be nice if he was healthy. That's all I'm asking for. I don't need anything more from Looney than what he's shown in his career so far, which is the ability to play defense, some decent passing, you know, solid enough finishing, can finish games at the five. Like that's all I'm asking for. I don't want anything else from him. I don't need any, you know, dribble drives, you know, threes, maybe hit a 15-foot jump shot. Maybe he learned the David West mid range. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, I need Looney to be able to hit some shots.
You're asking for more.
Let me put it this way. If Looney's healthy alone, he's a guy you can count on in your 8-man playoff rotation at any level. He's proven he can play in the finals without Kevin Durant. Like we already saw that. We know we can count on him in that capacity if he's healthy. I've always felt like Looney had a little more game. Like I know Warrior fans love to talk up Looney just because like he's got such an unassuming he's like a likable dude, right? But I always felt like he had a little more game than he showed during the dynasty years there because like, well, of course he's not going to take shots away from Steph and KD, like in Clay also, right? I always thought he had a little more capability there and I'd love to see him have a shot to show it. Like now am I saying he's going to average 20? No, but like I'd be happy if he hit a couple jumpers to go with everything, maybe give you 10 points a game, something like that.
There is a space for him to do that, especially when he's playing with the starters. Because let's say he's playing with the core four and himself, right? There is going to be room where guys double step. They should run out at Clay. There's a short, you know, pick and roll. He bounces it to Draymond. Draymond either, you know, gets it to Looney for the dunk. Or sometimes Looney's going to be out in the mid-range or he's going to be out in the three and he's going to have a shot to shoot that. What's the worst thing that can happen is you can do the Andre Iguodala. Or he holds it, and he tries to pass it back to Clay. Right? We just want the threat there to make that shot. Or just make it. You know, forget the threat. Like, Maurice Spates would just make it.
Yeah, you know? and that's the other thing. You want him to be able to play next to Draymond. Draymond's not going to be the guy who scores a ton. So Looney, or like, on some level, the two of them both need to be able to hit enough shots to keep defense is honest, right? Like I'm not asking either. Yeah, I'm not asking either of them to be 30 point per game scorers or something like that. I'm asking them both to hit a couple shots each, just to be a release valve for Steph and Clay,
which Draymond used to be able to do. And I think you're right. Like the expectation shouldn't be that he can't hit anything or he's been doing. Maybe it should just make average. I think what would be your expectation out? You know, decent shooting percentages, but like 9 points, then 10 points. From Looney on like maybe 28 minutes would be nice, 25 minutes.
Right.
Like maybe that's asking for a lot.
Yeah, maybe take the minutes down but go from there. Because like I just don't want to put the pressure of, you know, 30 whatever on him. So
right.
Other than that.
Now we move to your boy. There was a play where Smiley Geach gets the ball. He takes a dribble, a little bit of a dribble drive action. Kicks it out to Looney for the three, which we've talked about. What did you think of Smiley Geach? What did you think of his running style, which it looks like he doesn't know where he's running half the time? Didn't shoot many threes. Didn't seem like he shot anything. Also, you know, I will say this. In G League, which I unfortunately watched more than a few Smiley Geach games, they did feature him. When he's playing in this Warriors offense, he's literally just setting a screen, rolling to the rim, and that's it. So I don't know how much you can glean from that, but I'm sure you have some takes. I'm sure you do.
I mean, I'm in a good mood. I don't know that I want to talk about Smiley Geach right now. I just, all I saw from the double highlights was he's not going to contribute next year. Like Steve Kerr politely has said on interviews, like, oh, I think he could be like offensive stretch five, which is like for Steve Kerr, that's like the lowest of low compliments. He's basically saying, I don't think I can ever play him in any relevant minutes because he'll never be able to defend.
And I do think he can hit some shots. So I can kind of patchwork him in there for spurts at a time when I need offense. Nothing I saw suggests he's even closer. I don't know. Every time I watch him, I just see a dude who's too small, too slow, has no instincts.
That is a decent touch.
Decent touch, though.
He is too small. That's the problem, because the first thing I noticed was that they're playing him next to Looney, which if you're going to be a face-up small ball scoring five, you better be able to score. Even Enes Kanter could drop 25, right? And with Smiley, it's you're too small to defend at the five unless you're Draymond Green, and you're not scoring.
I think
small ball five.
I do think part of him playing there was more like the bodies they had, but like I've seen Smiley live, you've seen Smiley live. Is he closer to 6'9" or 6'11"?
right.
It's 6'9". He's not. Right. He's not a big like. I mean. Okay, Myers Leonard is like unexciting, but like he's at least 7 feet tall with a shooting stroke, right? This dude's closer to 6'9". He's not particularly athletic either. That's the thing. He doesn't move his feet well. He does hustle, but that's about it.
He does hustle. Yeah, congrats, Mark Mattson. If it's not that, then you better be like a face up dribble drive. Like you can drive and you can score. Like that's the other thing, that if he excels at that, if he shows an ability, take 2-3 dribbles, have like a fun like post up game, kind of like a taller version of Eric Paschal, where Paschal is too small, but dude, he is driving by guys and he's finishing at the rim, right? Like that type of stuff. Like that'd be fun. Which, by the way, they showed like an Eric Paschal video, and we're in the Light Years Premium Discord. And I was trying to get video of that. It looks like they took it down. I thought it looked fine, but I guess they're really like keeping that hush hush, right? It's like a
North Paschal area. Jump shot. It's like the secret weapon. They don't want everyone to see next year. Like it's like that? The Steph workouts. Like you see like a little clip. It's like you don't want to see it.
You know, it's like you remember when Harbaugh they went in and snuck a visit to see Peyton Manning, you know, like way back when. Yeah. It's like, well, that's Peyton Manning. It's Peyton Manning, you know, that's worth it. The Warriors seem like they're doing that with you know, these highlights and that jump shot. But that's all we got, and you know, we haven't heard too much about like with Smiley. It's like if you don't have the standard like best shape of his life compliment, or he's come back with like an entirely new game and stuff like that, it's probably not, like you said, it's not great praise.
The Smiley comments are always, he's so enthusiastic. Like it's
like Sam, when you're going out with someone, guy or girl, and it's like, hey, so what do they look like? Oh, no, don't worry about that. You've got great personality. You knew I was going there. I saw you laughing before I even finished the analogy.
I was trying to determine how problematic it would be if I needed to edit it out. And you came in at the right level of just appropriateness. I applaud it. I guess let's hit on Jordan Poole real quick.
Yeah.
Because he's been the other player who's been pretty hyped up for how hard he's worked. Obviously, Fitz and you know, the team have been just, they love to talk about how good he played when he played point guard last year. Yeah. He did play better. He did look better. But like, there's a big difference between playing competent point guard on a team that had the worst record in the NBA and being objectively a backup point guard on a team who has title aspirations, which the Warriors hope to. Yeah. Do you think he can get to a level where he can play 15 minutes a game off the bench behind Steph?
Classic against, end of the season.
Against good teams.
Right. Like classic end of the season, like a guy plays well, right? Like that type of stuff, where it's like across every sport, like NBA, NFL, like you'll have like the Niners went 6-0.
MLB call up. There's a minor leaguer you think's going to be a stud, and then you see him next year strike out over and over again.
Yeah. I did, from the few minutes I saw, Jordan Poole doesn't seem like the smartest player. Like there are times where I'm like, he's pump faked, then he's driving to the hole. And it's like, dude, you're like 6'2". All right, like maybe 6'3", and you're like no wingspan, you can't finish. Like, why are you going to the rim, right?
Hey, he's just a 6'4". I give him 6'4".
Okay, we'll give him that. It's like, just take the pump fake and shoot the three. Three does look nice. Like, he is a shooter. The ball handling is still there. Do I think he's going to be able to play 15 minutes against like the Toronto Raptors? Probably not. But I think they'll bring someone in to kind of take those minutes. I was encouraged though. Like, I like Jordan Poole. Did you realize this, Sam? Also, that Warriors Twitter loves Jordan Poole. Like, they love him. I kind of like Jordan. I mean, that's kind of cool. I get it because he's a fun player. Like, okay, so the thing with Jordan Poole that surprised me is like he has the ball handling ability to be a point guard. I'm not sure he has the playmaking ability. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not worried about him not being able to dribble the ball under pressure. I'm worried about him making the reads and being able to make, you know, decipher between shooting and passing and doing it at the speed you need to do at that level. So, not that that's the greatest glowing endorsement or anything, but I do think he has the skill set to be a point guard. And I'll give Steve Kerr this. They brought him in to be a shooting guard. They brought him in because they want another shooter. They were aware of the fact that, you know, it's like it's Steph Clay and like 10 dudes who just pass it in a circle trying to find Steph and Clay. And he's not a player who's afraid to shoot the ball in college and anything. So like it made sense. But like in classic Steve Kerr fashion, somehow his shot gets worse, but his passing gets better.
So. Well, I will say this though, like to my earlier point, you know, the Spurs bring guys in and they leave them in the G League for a year or two, right? Like, we didn't hear from Derek White. We didn't hear from Lonnie Walker. Like, some of these guys that – who's the other guy? There's another guy that they have. He's a shooter. The name escapes me. Another guard who isn't bad. And they bring him in. Bryn Forbes. Thank you. You got me. But these guys aren't coming in the first year. And they don't look great, right? It's not like they're great players, but they're really good role players. They're really good regular season role players. And that's all we want from Jordan Poole. So that's why I'm saying it's like, maybe don't throw the first season away, but I think there's enough there to say, you know, maybe he can be a Bryn Forbes. Maybe he can be that guy, still young, you know, some seasoning and he's flashed enough that he can get there. So I'm still in on Jordan Poole. Not still in. I'm more in on Jordan Poole. We're both out on Smiley. And Looney, well, just stay healthy. So,
shout out Looney.
Yeah. All right. We'll get to some questions here. Before that, let's do some quick reads. Bet Online. You guys know this one. You guys know BetOnline.ag. Football is back. We are in the World Series. College football. You can bet on UFC next week. Habib is fighting Sam. So you can bet on all of that. So you might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. I know Sheed's on it all the time. BetOnline is going to, and I don't know why he's always betting on the A's. It doesn't work out for him. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. You can bet on the Rays, and I think they're going to be big underdogs. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. You know the promo code, BlueWire, BetOnline.ag. That's BlueWire, all one word, BetOnline. Your online sportsbook experts. We got another one here. Indeed. So even though sports had a break, your business did not. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people and fast. It's actually what I use coming out of college to apply to places. So unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. So with 73% of online job seekers visiting online each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. So right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it and fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. That is their best offer available anywhere. So go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
Ooh. All right. I want to start with this question. This is actually one from a premium pod we didn't get to last time. So I want to throw it on the regular pod from Bobby Peru. The last mailbag had a question about getting rid of the corner three. There's something that's discussed in the book Sprawl Ball by Kirk Goldsberry. He bemoans that the league is too much three-point shooting, especially the corner three. It isn't dynamic like it once was. I agree with this point, by the way.
Yeah.
He had some suggestions. I'm curious to see what you all think. Getting rid of the corner three, pulling the three-point line back, that doesn't work
unless you get rid of the corner three. Narrowing the key to pre-Wilt days, which would make big men more valuable than they are today, or making the corner three a place you cannot spend more than 3 seconds. I think that's it. But if someone has read the book, they can correct me. So I think the crux of this question is we just saw a Laker team make more threes in the finals than the Warriors did the previous year. Some of that I think is the bubble, but to me, a lot of it's the officiating. And I think it gets to a point like, is the league too 3-point heavy? And how do you kind of adjust the rules of basketball to make it more in balance?
So we answered some of this pieces of this questions on premium. So you can get your answers on that. By the way, for those that don't subscribe, Stan had an amazing rant for like 15 minutes on Draymond Green. round of applause for that performance. It was incredible. Subscribe to that. You got Discord chat and all that fun stuff. But I assume the 3 second rule that he's talking about is similar to kind of like you can't, it's like a defensive three, right? You're basically making that rule so it kind of opens up the floor a little bit more. It just makes the game a little better, right? Because with the defensive three that they put in, like you can't cap there anymore. There's more scoring. It makes the NBA more fun. From that perspective, Sam, I think it's the right idea. There's too much PJ Tucker standing in the corner and the game is not really fun. And there's, you know, I'm watching Alex Caruso stand there and he's making threes. I think you should reward a three-pointer that Steph is hitting, you know, running around three screens or even like Duncan Robinson, right? Like those are kind of real three-pointers. Those are three-pointers from real three-point shooters. Those should count more, at least from a perspective of it should be harder to shoot. It should be harder to make. And Alex Caruso standing there for 10 seconds while AD and Bron run a pick and roll, pound, 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 and then you shoot a three and it's the same thing. Yeah, it is kind of a cheat code. I don't know what you do, though. I don't have a Harvard degree like Kurt Goldsberry, but I agree with the premise where they do have to change something there. So maybe make a four-point line.
I'm not a four-point line guy. I do get the logic, but like I do agree with you. If you make three-pointers difficult, more difficult, it makes good shooters more valuable. Like Steph's percentage may go down if you make three-pointers harder to take, but his will go down less than James Harden. You know, it'll go down less than guys who don't shoot at the same clip as him. And at the end of the day, if you make it harder to take threes, the better shooters will be more valuable. And to me, it's more about the landing space rules and the defensive rules. Like you have to be able to get up on guys a little more. You can't. Too many NBA players are, they get way too much freedom. Like Kyle Kuzma is not a particularly good shooter, but he can hit shots if he has open looks. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be able to close out on guys a little harder. Whereas like we know, like Klay Thompson, it doesn't matter how hard you close on him. He can hit the shot. So it's about kind of giving the defense a little more leeway. When the NBA is at its best, in my opinion, it, you know, the defense has more leeway than the offense. And that's kind of what we're going toward. Like scores should be around 100. They shouldn't be around 130. The same way they shouldn't be around like 75-80. When they're around 75-80, that means the rules have skewed too far in the defense's favor. So it's I feel like it's gone too far in the offense's favor these days. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just a thing of offenses ahead of defense and defenses will figure stuff out. But like you have to be able to do stuff to just because there's too many teams in the league like Milwaukee, Dallas, Houston, whose entire game plan is, well, they can't close as hard. So if we just take 60 of these, we're going to win.
Now, the flip side, those guys also aren't winning in the postseason for a reason.
Right.
And you can say that's part of the reason too. I do like in what you said. I like that point because the NFL, you look at the NFL, there's only, what, three great defensive teams this season? You know, right. The Steelers, the Bucks, the Ravens, like maybe like the...
Yeah.
Those three maybe. And everyone else is like, if you keep these guys under 24 points, you can probably win, right? Even the Niners are like, you know, they're putting out a pretty decent defense, I think, like if they get guys healthy. So that just might be how sports is nowadays, though, Sam. You know, it just might be the Atlanta Hawks are just going to average 120. You know, in baseball, you got juice baseballs. And if you got a decent enough defense, and then I think teams just got to learn the lesson. Like, look, man, Houston, you're not going to win like that. And they haven't. They've never won like that. Like, do you think, like, Dallas, they can keep this up and win, you know, get to the conference finals? Like, some guys have Dallas over the Warriors. I think you get them in the postseason series. I don't think the Warriors are going to have a problem with Dallas. And so, yeah, maybe you change the rules. It is a regular season thing. But I think come postseason, teams that don't rely on that solely do have a better chance of winning. But then you got the Miami Heat, who just, you know, they didn't have any type of offense. So maybe they should have ran that more, right? Like, those guys were passing the ball to each other like 18 times in the same possession. And then with the clock running out, like, that thing looked pathetic by the time that the NBA Finals were over. So maybe it corrects itself. But yeah, you're right. I don't need 130 in the regular season. Because you want it to look kind of difficult, right? Like, you don't want John Collins averaging 30 points. Like, nobody wants to watch that.
You don't want to look like an All-Star game. Like, you see highlights posted of, like, you know, Luka and Trey just joking around an All-Star game. And, like, it's fine for an All-Star game. But, like, you don't want that to be the status quo, I guess. So, yeah. All right, next question from Kasunglo16. What is the best case and worst case draft day scenario for you guys?
Yeah, I like this one. Maybe I'll take worst case. You take best case.
But you take both. Well, gotta come up with both mine. But yeah.
Okay. Worst case to me is that they package this pick and trade it for a short term winning player that doesn't really make sense for the team. I think if they package this pick and somehow end up with someone like, even, you know, I think Josh Richardson is a great player. Like, he's a fun player. He's a good fit on the team. But I don't. He would have helped them. I don't know if that's like you package this pick and like, I don't know if that's like, I would be ecstatic about that. Maybe that's not worst case scenario, but I don't think that puts him over the hump. So best case scenario for me would probably be what I said earlier. Move this thing back a couple times. Get as many picks as possible. Mitchell Robbins has popped up a few times as a player that you may be able to get. I know Kelly Oubre, although he's been talked about as a TPE guy. I think just accumulating value probably would be the best case scenario, because that would tell me, Sam, that they think they have a shot at Giannis. Yeah. I don't think it's taking a player. That might just be like kind of like the most boring thing that you can do.
Yeah, so I'm with you. Like, worst case would be a short-sighted win now move, which hurts their long-term future. They can't be thinking too long-term. Like, LaMelo might be the best player in 4 years, but in 4 years, Steph's 36.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Best case would be swinging this pick plus the Wolves pick for like a real impact guy. I just don't think that's going to happen in the short term. Yep. So,
nope.
All right.
We got some good ones.
All right. From, at Arzva, the first. Haven't heard much noise about the Warriors with Denny Adzia or Killian Hayes. How do you think the front office views those players' value?
Ooh. All right. So I'm going to start with Denny Adzia. I think they view him as somewhat of... So they won't take him at two, although we've seen that smokescreen because, you know, what haven't we seen? Probably lower ceiling guy. Lower ceiling guy, high floor. Like, I think to me, he's probably like the complete opposite of like taking a Patrick Williams, who maybe has a low floor, but probably has a high ceiling. I think Steve Kerr probably likes him as kind of a short-term fit. I think he could probably convince us into saying he could play 18 minutes a game in his first season, just as a cutter, a scorer, somewhat of a defender, a little bit of a playmaker off the bench. So I think that's how they view him. Maybe in the 5 to 15.
Do you think they prefer more, Denny or Killian Hayes?
I think they prefer Denny.
Yeah.
Right? Prefer Denny. Yeah. I just think nobody knows anything about Killian Hayes, but it doesn't seem like he's a guy.
Except for friend of the show, Ethan Strauss.
Except for Strauss, who thinks he can be, you know, like a
Harden.
James Harden light. Yeah, right. Which I have a tough time believing. I'm just looking at him. Like, I don't know. He looks like a scrawny, You know, some guys have said campaign, which I think is funny. And I haven't seen enough of Killian Hayes to know that. But I just think, unless you're an incredible scorer, a guy like that, look at Kemba Walker, who's a small guy, really good scorer. But come the postseason, Sam, were you impressed by him in the postseason? I don't know. And I don't know if that's the guy that you would take that high. I think they would just rather go with the wing playmaker, high floor type of guy. So I think they'd rather go
to
Denny.
So I will say Killian's 6'5", maybe 6'4". Like, he's a big point guard. He hasn't filled out his body. I don't see him as a Warrior kind of guy because he's got kind of a D'Lo, Harden, likes the ball in his hands approach. And Warriors aren't about that. And you know what? That might bite them in the ass, because if he ends up being James Harden and they passed on him to take a system fit, like, you know, it's going to look really dumb when he's leading a team to the playoffs every year and they're, you know, not. They're the Spurs with DeRozan not doing anything of value, right? Like, that's the fear, right? But I think Denny is a player that the Warriors would like. I think it's a question of his upside and value at pick number for him. Because when I see Denny, I see a guy who, from everything I've seen, he's got legit size. Like, he's 6'9". Yeah. He's not a 6'8 wing who you get out there and you're like, oh, you're like 6'5". You know, like, he's got like good size. He's got a shooting stroke. He's got the IQ. He often gets compared to Danilo Gallinari, and that might be, you know, white guy thing. But like, you know, Gallinari, I would be surprised if there's four players in this draft who are better than Danilo Gallinari, is all I'm saying. Like, that's it's not a sexy pick, but like, end of the day, that's a 20 point per game high IQ winning player. And usually you don't get too many more of those every year. And like, people also kind of look down on Gallinari because he probably should have been better than he was, but injuries caught up to him a little bit. Like, he's
a lot of hype.
Yeah, he's just one of those guys who's like, he became good. He didn't become great, but you thought he might have been great when he was younger. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I liken him to a white guy. God, I hate to do this. Like, I think Chandler Parsons is a guy. I think he even
sure.
He
Parsons, even, like, by the way, very good player before his knee fell apart in four different
terrible.
Ways.
Terrible. Just terrible. But like, Parsons couldn't make free throws. Denny, for some reason, can't make free throws. But Parsons, smart player. Right, he can make some threes. Looks like Denny can make some threes. Right, decent defensively. I think Parsons is solid defensively. Like, you know, Hayward is probably the top end. Another white guy. Another top end of like where Hayward's like an all-star. Right?
Exclusively white guy comps.
I'm trying to think of someone that's not.
No
one's
going to compare Denny Adzia to Rudy Gay, even though that might be the other outcome that's like most realistic.
Damn, that's good. Yeah, that's a good one. Although, veteran Rudy Gay, right? Like Rudy Gay coming out was extremely athletic, which...
Yeah, exactly.
Although Parsons is kind of athletic, actually. I was going to say, Sam, Chase Budinger? Would that be the floor? Worst case scenario? I really like
Chase Denny. Could throw it down back in the day.
Volleyball guy. I really liked Denny coming in just because I do feel like, you know, if you're going to pick a playmaker, you want the bigger guy. I don't know if he's Gallo. Gallo's really good offensively too, right? Like, so.
Yeah, Gallo's also 31. So, yeah. So, I mean, I'm thinking more young Gallo, but like, even that, I don't know. That's the kind of the range we're talking about. Obviously, European players are always going to compare to European players because you see them playing those type of ball movement systems, which, you know, guys coming out of college just don't play in systems with like the point forward running the break the same way they do in Europe,
which those are my favorite type of players too.
Also, right? That's like, just an NBA thing. So if anything, I would argue that you can sometimes find undervalued college players like a Draymond Green, perhaps, who, you know, I don't remember him at Michigan State running the break the way he did with the Warriors.
No.
And that's because Michigan State wanted to pound 40-second possessions in college. You know,
he could pass in college, but yeah, that pace was different.
Like, you knew he was a smart player, but like, I didn't know he, if people knew he could just lead the fast break like that, he would have gone 20 picks higher immediately. Yeah.
I mean, I do love smart players. Like, I am similar to, like, I get Steve Kerr's thing. I bet you Steve Kerr really likes Denny. And you watch Anthony Edwards, or you look at Anthony Edwards and you don't feel like he's the smartest player, right? That's someone that you're
there's development to be done.
Yeah. And LaMelo, which I think he's a smart player. I just think he might just, I don't know.
I think he's a skilled player is the bigger thing. When I look at LaMelo, I see a guy who just has an unreal ball handling feel. That doesn't mean he knows how to play with other guys if the ball's not in his hands.
I do like Lonzo, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that he's like Lonzo, but let's
no, no, no. Next. But I'm saying it would be nice if he had that team.
Yeah. Play. All right, from the LaKay guy. Is it realistic for the Warriors? Is it realistic that Warriors will not use 17 mil in the mid-level because they will owe around 300 mil next year if they do? If that is the case, you can certainly expect them to trade down. Income from Chase will not be there next year. So he's basically asking, should we expect them to use the full TPE and mid-level next year?
You know, 2 seasons ago, I don't know if the Warriors would have used a mid-level exception if it wasn't DeMarcus Cousins that said he was coming. You know, like they were going to spend a lot of money that season on the luxury tax bill. And I think that Joe Lacob was down to spend it only if it was a player that was worth it. And obviously they felt DeMarcus was. I think it's the same thing this time around. Maybe a little bit worse just because obviously they're making no money. But yeah, I mean, are you going to spend, you know, $12 million for Josh Richardson? Yeah, probably. I think they'd do that. But are they going to spend the entire traded player exception on Aaron Gordon?
Kelly Oubre? Yeah.
Or Kelly Oubre? No, that's a better example. Kelly Oubre. Like, you think they're just going to take Kelly Oubre in for the TPE, which, you know, the Suns would probably do it. But you think the Warriors would? I don't think so. So maybe those are your two kind of, like, points, right? One they'd for sure do and one they wouldn't.
Yeah, and it should be noted, if the Warriors aren't willing to spend the TPE, I would assume other teams are not willing to spend, and the players that you think might cost $5-6 million might only cost $2-3 million. So there might be some opportunity cost there. I mean, it's interesting. Like, the biggest thing for me, which makes this entire offseason hard to read, is we hear the Warriors complaining about revenue, and we kind of roll our eyes because we know what Chase can make. But if the Warriors are hurting, imagine how Utah's feeling. Imagine how Denver's feeling. Imagine how OKC's feeling. And Houston. those teams don't have Goldman Sachs trying to float them loans, you know?
I will say this. There is a problem here where who are the Warriors trying to go through next season? Trying to go through the Lakers. You think the Lakers are going to be skimping on money?
That's a good point.
I don't know, right? Like, I don't know. So if I think they're going to be better than Utah. I think they're going to be better than Denver. I think they're going to be better than some of these teams, Houston. But you know, if you're
willing to spend more for sure,
right. But if you're not going to outspend the Lakers in terms of getting good players, then
what does it matter? What does it matter, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
so we got another question from Nadim. I'm going to paraphrase this one.
Okay.
He lists a bunch of players who are not Steph, Clay, Draymond, or Wiggins, #Core4. And so it's like Looney, Marquise Chris, Mike Mulder, Jordan Poole, Eric Paschal, Alan Smilagic, Damian Lee, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Kai Bowman. Which of these players do you think have spent the most time working on their game and who will improve? Basically, if you were to rank these players, who do you think has the most chance to make an impact next year?
I'm going to take some guys out. I'm going to take Looney out just because I think his is just predicated on health. I don't know how much he can improve just because of who he is. If he's healthy, he's the guy. Right?
He could add a three-point shot, but yeah.
Sure, yeah, yeah. To me, the top after that would be it'd be Paschal, Poole, and Chris would be the top three for me. The rest of the guys, to me, like, I don't even know if they're going to be on the damn team. I didn't see Damian Lee. Oh, no, he is on there. So I think he'd be – I mean, Damian Lee's kind of old, so I think he is who he is. But to me, number one's Paschal. Can he make a three? Can he shoot a three without falling down? Like Zardia always does. Jordan Poole, can he make a three? Can he make a three at all? And then with Marquise Chris, it's can he stay on the floor? Can he be fine on defense? So I think those are the top three guys because they are going to get minutes. Like, as much as you say maybe, or someone would say maybe Jordan Poole is a back of the bench guy, dude, they're going to need him to play like 10, 15 minutes, right? So,
right.
And Paschal, they're almost relying on Paschal at this point, unless you tell me they're getting you know, Oubre and
they Jay are, Rich, they are. I do feel like they feel like Pascal's slotted into the second unit. Like,
yep.
Like Jordan Poole has to earn the second unit minutes, but Eric Pascal's a lock in the second unit at this point.
I think that's okay too. I think he'd be fun. I think he showed way more than enough last season as in his rookie year. Take out the second round stuff, like no qualifier. Just as a rookie, he was good enough to play. He's going to be good enough to play on this team. But if he's going to be the same player as he was last season, then that might be a problem. But it also seems like Pascal is kind of someone like Draymond, like Clay, like Steph, where he's only going to get better. It's like the Obi Toppin stuff where we had Vecini on a month ago, where they're like,
right.
Yeah, like Obi Toppin's old, so he doesn't. But it's like Obi Toppin's got better every damn season, and it's not like he's 30 years old. So I'm not saying Pascal's Obi Toppin, but I think there's enough upside left there. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. That would be my order too. I don't know anyone beyond that. To me, like I like Kai Bowman. I think Kai Bowman has a chance to be an NBA player. I think Juan Toscano can definitely defend at an NBA level. I'm not sure if a shot ever comes. If Juan Toscano Anderson can hit open threes, he's an NBA player. He's Daniel House, right? But I haven't seen anything that makes me see that he can, right? So with everything you're saying, like to me, the most important are Pascal and Poole. Pascal has to develop the shot. Both of them have to just become better shooters, and I think they can stay on the floor.
Yep.
Moving to the next one. Given it impacts the Warriors' next draft, what player do you think Minnesota will target with number one? Could they consider Gobert? This is an interesting question for me because Minnesota is also going to look to trade down. So, obviously, by trading their 2021 pick, which the Warriors own, they are saying we're not tanking next season. And they need to get better immediately. So, what do you think Minnesota does?
Man, you know a lot about the way that the Minnesota front office thinks, right? It's what's his name? Gershon.
It's Morey. Yeah.
Exactly.
He's Morey's protege.
And then there's also a back and forth where I think like they also want to appease Kat, where that's why they got D'Lo. I don't know if they would have gotten D'Lo if not. They're kind of doing that to say, look, Kat, we want you to stay. Like, we don't want you to request a trade. Please get my best friend kind of guy, right? Gobert is a funny name, which I don't know how that works.
Yeah, that's not the perfect fit, but yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're Utah and they offer you the number one pick for Gobert, it's hard to say no, right?
Right. So The problem with the Warriors at two is because whatever offer that the Warriors try to get people to take, people can just send that same one to Minnesota. Like,
right.
That's the problem here. Because, you know, if you can send Golden State and Minnesota the same offer and they take it, then why don't you just send it to Minnesota so you can for sure take LaMelo or for sure take Anthony or Wiseman? So, yeah, I mean, that's probably a problem. Do you believe that front office is probably a little bit better at kind of value accumulation and that type of stuff, risk analysis, than the Warriors front office? I would say probably yes, right? To me, here's the thing, Sam. To me, I do feel like the Warriors could have gotten more out of D'Angelo Russell to Minnesota. It sounded like, and it was written in articles, that trade was dead in the water multiple times, and Bob Myers was the one that called back and offered that. And anytime you're in sales, I'm in sales. Anytime you're the one that's picking up the phone and you're calling the guy, then you're probably the guy.
You're coming from a position of weakness.
Yep.
Yep. And you can read between the lines. If Bob has to call and be like, let's get this done.
Yep.
It's coming from above. It's not a,
yeah.
Because it, all things considered, Bob knows that offer's still there at the draft. He doesn't need to make that deal.
Yep. So. And Minnesota, like, they were begging for D'Lo. Like, everybody knew. Everybody in the world knew. And it did feel like to me that they could have gotten multiple first-round picks. That's how it felt to me. Or even, like, an unprotected first. Can you imagine the Minnesota? Now we're doing hypotheticals.
Right.
Can you imagine the Minnesota first being unprotected? My God, I think they'd already have Giannis. But they are in a weird situation. And the other thing is, maybe Minnesota shooting out smoke screens as well. It does seem like they do like LaMelo. It does seem like they're another team that likes him, although that fit doesn't make sense. But, you know.
Yeah. Should we keep going or should we call it a day?
Yeah, yeah. Let's do some like rapid fire ones. I got a few. I'm just gonna go through them really quickly.
Go for it.
Just because these guys have been sending them in. So there's a quick one. D Rose from SNE Goosey 64. D Rose and Christian Wood for the 2020 pick in Looney. Yes or no?
No. we're not trading Looney.
I think you just don't do that regardless, right? It just that doesn't really make sense. The value, like we said, in terms of worst case scenario, you got to get value out of that second pick regardless. Warriors, Adam O. Rank the realistic trade targets by tiers on who the Warriors can trade the second pick for. I think we've talked about that a little bit. After watching that atrocious video on Vassell, stay away. We talked about that on Premium. I think it's too short. Just sit on it a little bit.
Unless you can prove to me this is his new shot, I'm not reading anything into it.
Yeah. Yeah. there's a trade here from Ricky G. I don't think it's actually Ricky G. 157. That's trading Wiggins or getting Giannis. Look, any trade that you're getting Giannis is a win.
Yes.
anyone. So Danny Bird 33, another one here. Do you see any potential? I think this one's interesting, a little deep. Do you see any potential for Steph and Pascal pick and roll? He has a great build for setting screens and he's pretty athletic around the rim. So Sam, you were talking about Draymond Green on the Premium pod a lot. If it's not Draymond running that screen pick and roll, Steph and Pascal, what do you think? That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, everything with Pascal comes down to the shot for me because he's not the passer. He's a good passer. He's not Draymond, though. Draymond's a, top five IQ type of player, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. And for Pascal, he's a better scorer than Draymond was. He's better at finishing through contact. But everything comes down to if he can hit a shot, then he can be just murderous in all those situations. So I want to see if he can develop a shot. And then if he can develop a shot, there's so many things you can do with him. Put him in pick and roll, put him on the weak side, attacking closeouts. You can have him hanging out around the rim, do whatever you want.
So you talk a lot about, most of the times you're looking at a score. You want a score to be that fifth guy, whether it be somebody better than Andrew Bogut and Zaza Pachulia, right? Like whether it be Aaron Baines or Serge Ibaka, but if none of those guys pan out or if they're the guys that aren't finishing, Eric Pascal could be that fifth guy. Not much defense there, but he could be that guy that could be the scorer, right? He could be the guy that finishing at the rim, driving to the rim, like that may be his role, and the Warriors may have found something there. Because a lot of times, look, man, you might not get that fifth big that can score 10, 15 points. We've seen Pascal score 20, seen him score 30. So I think that there's a shot at it for him to do that. He doesn't have the IQ for Draymond that does the passing, but some of the times we should finish.
We should stop comparing him to Draymond because, like,
yes,
Draymond's the – I wouldn't want to recreate Draymond if I could because you're talking about a player who's like an A-plus in certain things and then like a D-minus in other things. Like, it's the weirdest combination I've ever seen. And – It's just never going to be a repeatable formula, perfect fit for Steph and Clay, but like you just don't find players like that. And like your goal shouldn't be to turn someone into an amazing IQ passer who can't finish.
Yes. That, and then stop comparing Wiggins and Harry B, right? In terms of who they are as a player. That's another one. No, but like, that's another one where people love those comps and it's like, well, that's not, you got it. There are different ways to win basketball games. Yeah, yeah. There's different ways to win. The other one is, we talked about this one, is like, if you're drafting Devin Vassell, stop comparing him to Andre Iguodala. Like, he's not. Like, he has his own strengths. Maybe it's not even shooting anymore. Maybe he doesn't even have strengths. But,
don't draft him.
Right. Then he's Juan Toscano Anderson. But, like, you pick these new guys up that you're going to put around Steph and Clay and Draymond, and if you're always going to pigeonhole them into guys that the Warriors have succeeded with, it's just, everyone's different. It's not going to be the same.
Hashtag forever giant.
There you go. All right. And with that, all right, man, that is all the questions. All right. So there are a lot of Discord ones coming out. We'll do a premium for all those. I see options there with 15 of them, but we'll be back later this week.
Yeah, we'll do that. And then, draft content, we're going to get more aggressive. We'll get Fizzini. We'll get a few other draft people on here before the draft, and we'll go with that. It's about to get exciting, man.
Finally. All right, Tim.